This is an interview with Dennis Lorenz, recorded by Di Booker on the 18th of January at Athelstan. Also present is his wife, Jill Lorenz. It is part of the Campbelltown City Council Oral History Project, Our Fruitful Record, A History of Market Gardens in Campbelltown. Thank you, Dennis, for agreeing to be part of this project, and I'm sure that it will be really interesting to hear about your aspect of the market garden history of Campbelltown.
Yep, hope so.
Sure. So we'll start with just some questions about you and the family. So what's your full name?
Dennis Cleland Lorenz.
And is Cleland a family name?
Yeah, it was my father's second name.
Right, yeah.
And that's as far back as that goes.
Right, yeah. So as a personal question, what's your date of birth?
5/11/43.
Okay.
Born on Guy Fawkes Day.
Oh, yes.
But they don't have that anymore. So
no. So where were you born?
Down at St Peter's,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is just out of Adelaide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's the full name of your father?
Jack Cleland Lorenz.
Right. And where was he born?
He was born in the old house at 11 Manresa Court.
Right. And when was he born?
1st of February 1912.
Right. Yeah. And was he always a market gardener?
Yeah, his father bought the land. He worked in some of the land that he finished up buying. And then Dad went straight from school into the garden because
mm-hmm.
his father died when Dad was 28. So he had to go straight into the garden. I think he was 14 or 15 when he went straight into the garden, which happened back in those days.
Yes, and was it the same with you? Did you go straight?
Yeah, I was 15 when I started in the garden, and it was a good life, hard, but...
Especially on days like today.
Yeah, oh, well, you get the hotter the weather, the more watering you had to do and that sort of stuff.
But, yeah, we'll talk about the water shortly. So what was the full name of your mother?
Well, she was Clarice May Tregeagle. She come from Tea Tree Gully,
right.
And they got married in 1938.
Right, and do you know when she was born?
9th of May 1915.
Right, yeah. And do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I've got three boys.
No, you're brothers and sisters.
Oh, brother, yeah, I've got two sisters. Yeah. One 18 months older than me and one 10 years younger.
Right.
Maureen is the oldest one and Cheryl's the youngest one.
Right. And were they involved in the gardening at all?
No, they was never worked in the garden.
No. So it was mainly the boys.
And
so we've got Jill here with us today. So when did you get married?
Married on the 27th of 21st of March. 20th of March, 1973. 1971.
It's
hard to remember.
Yes, it is, yeah. And so what are the names of your children?
The oldest, I've got three boys.
Mm-hmm.
Darren is the oldest. He's was born in 73. He manages a cattle station 100 k's east of Birdsville. One of which was Kidman Stations, now being bought by Gina Reinhart. And Jamie lives over at Ingle Farm. He's a landscaper. And Troy's the youngest one. He was born in 78. And he's a salesman for Redox.
Right. So the land is in some of the blood of the descendants then?
Yeah, they're sort of all on the land in a different way, not market gardening, but half tied up with the land, I suppose.
Yeah.
Or partly tied up with the land.
Mm. So what are your earliest memories of Campbelltown and Athelstan, this area?
Probably going to the primary school up here, which is it still a library?
No, it's not.
No, the library, well, it was a library up here.
Mm.
There was nothing but much between where we lived and the school. We used to walk up there and it was just like a country town, Athelstan, back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no fear of anything, and just ride your bikes around anywhere. And
So you mentioned that you started in the gardens when you were about 15, but were you involved in the gardens before then?
When a kid, you're always out there doing something, helping and getting in the way. And
So you grew up in this area. So who lived in your home when you were a child? Was it just your parents and your brothers and sisters?
Yeah, we all lived in the house. Mum and Dad built a new house when they first got married on the Gorge Road, and we lived there. When we first got married, there's an old house at, they call it Manresa Cottage now. We lived there for 8 years and then built a new house on Manresa Court, or what is now Manresa Court. Mm. Used to be Addison Avenue years ago, and then it got changed to Manresa Court. Mm. Okay. So I've only ever moved about 100 metres from where I was brought up.
Makes moving easy, doesn't it?
Still on part of the original land, what was part of the garden after it got sold.
Yeah. You're probably one of the few people who do still live on the land, and on the same land.
Yeah, I don't think there's too many others live on there where they was gardening.
So what was the neighbourhood like, though? Was it mostly gardens all around here?
Yeah, it was all gardens when I was young, back in the 50s. Mm. I can remember, partly back in the 50s, and it was just all gardens. Mm. I think the first one that got sold was up where the primary school is now. That was another Lorenz family, and that was Dad's cousin. Mm-hmm. I think that got sold around about 1960, because they had the sons didn't want to take it over, and they'd got a bit old to continue gardening, and I think that's one of the first ones that was sold.
Right, yeah. So who were your nearest neighbours then?
Well, that one, what I've just said, was Dad's cousin. Yeah. That was four brothers, and their place joined ours. Mm. And then over where St. Ignatius School is now, that was... someone was gardening there at one stage, but it wasn't very good land there. Mm. So there wasn't... And then it joined onto the cemetery.
Right,
and just a couple of little other places on either side.
So the land was obviously a bit uneven in quality then, in all around.
Most of ours was sandy soil. Right. We had one section which was red Bay of Biscay, but most of it was... pretty sandy sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Good to work in the winter when it was wet, but not so good in the summer when it needed a lot of water.
How much land then did your family work?
It was 18 acres all told, 13 on the northern side of Gorge Road and 5 acres on the southern side of Gorge Road, where Dad built his house.
Right, yeah.
And then the northern side got sold for subdivision when Dad got too old to work in 1973. Then it was subdivided, but we kept three-quarters of an acre was sold in the mid-60s. Ampol was going to put a service station on a triangle corner right opposite the cemetery, but that never eventuated. And we kept the other 3.5 acres, which is where we live now.
So I guess when your father gardened, you used horses, did you?
Yeah, it was horses. Tractors was just coming into it in the 50s.
Yeah.
But we still had one horse when I started.
Right, yeah.
And they said tractors could never do what they call row work in between rows of collies and cabbage and stuff that a tractor could do, but that was soon proved wrong.
Depends on the driver.
Yeah, well, the early days in the early 50s, they never had the machinery, the stuff to fit on the tractor to do the rows. But so you walked up and down all the rows, single row with a horse. But then they got machinery fit on the back of the tractor, and whereas a tractor could go all day, the horse couldn't go all day. So, but we would have used a horse until the early 60s, the last horse we had.
Right, as late as that, I didn't realise,
Well, I started in 59. We were still using the horse for a few things then. Mm. So it would have been a few years into the 60 when we stopped using the horse.
Right. So in your father's time, did you employ other people to work in the garden?
Yeah, Dad had, there was two other houses on the property, one either side the road, and he would employ, well, they were Australian men, originally local chaps from around the area. And then the later years, just before I started, he seemed to get people that come out from Holland. And Dutchmen, they seemed to like to work in the garden. They would come here for a few years when they first come out from Holland, and then once they got settled, they'd usually go somewhere else and they'd get someone else. But he was lucky that there was two houses that he could put the workmen in. So.
Yeah. And you mentioned before about the Italians who used to come out on Saturday mornings.
Yeah, they all used to ride out Saturday mornings up about 6, 7 o'clock and ride up the road and sing out, "Job boss, job boss," all looking for work, because a lot of them worked in the factories, which didn't work on weekends, and they'd just come up and get a few extra dollars for working over the weekend. But that was early in the piece. That wouldn't have gone too long into the 60s.
No.
Mainly in the 50s is when that would have happened.
Yeah. So when you took over, it was a smaller plot of land. So did you mostly work it on your own?
Oh, I was working with Dad.
Yeah. When your father retired.
Oh, well, that's when it was sold.
Yes.
When the 13 acres on the north side of Gorge Road, that was sold in 73, and that's when Dad retired.
Right.
He had to have a hip operation, so he couldn't continue, and by then it was starting to get subdivided all around there and getting houses close, and people that come into the houses didn't like the smell of the sprays and fertilisers and stuff, and so eventually all the land went.
Yeah. Yeah. So what sort of crops did you grow?
Oh, a variety of crops, mainly collards and cabbage in the winter, potatoes, sweet corn. Dad used to grow beans early in the piece before I started, but we never grew beans when I started gardening. Tomatoes for sauce for down at Rosella when they was down at Kentown. Used to grow sauce tomatoes during the summer, and a variety of crops.
So were there any other contracts that you had apart from the tomatoes?
Oh, 1 year we had a contract for beetroot for one of the factories, and just as the beetroot was ready, the factory got burnt down by fire.
Oh dear.
So the beetroot was left in the ground. Eventually they rebuilt the factory and the beetroot was sold to them, but it wasn't in real good condition when it was sold, but they still took it, so.
I guess that's something that, you know, you can't predict those sorts of things, can you?
No, it was just, I think that was a one-off year, the beetroot, that I can remember. But,
So what sort of hours did you work on the gardens then? How long was the day?
Well, mainly from nearly not long after daylight, and depends on weather conditions. In the summer, you could be working from daylight till dark. Winter, because the days were shorter, but the summer was, everyone knows what watering is like, trying to keep stuff wet and keep it survive. So, the days was pretty long.
When you, you plant seeds, you used seeds to plant for the...
Well, collards and cabbage, you use the seed and you plant in a seed bed, just in a small area.
Right.
And then after about 6 weeks, they when they grow, then you transplant them out.
So what time of the year did you do plant the seeds and then transplant the little...
Oh, probably November, December. January, February, depends on what crop it was. Sweet corn was planted by seed. Well, I suppose potatoes were too, but you had to get the potatoes and cut them into pieces and plant them. They was later years they was planted with a machine, but the early years they was planted by hand. You'd plough a furrow with a tractor and walk along with them in a tin bucket and just poke them in about 6 or 8 inches deep in the side of the bank. Then plough another furrow and just put them in, but then machines come in and made that a lot easier.
I can imagine that machinery made a lot of difference to a lot of the processes.
Oh, it made a big difference, you could grow more stuff and needed bigger areas and just made things a lot easier.
So what was really the busiest time of the year, or was it pretty much the same all year round?
Oh, probably busy most of the year. Mm. You had different crops and you had to come in different times of the year.
Yep.
Collies and cabbage during the winter and potatoes during the summer, so you'd always find something to do.
Well, how did you water the gardens?
Well, when I started, it used to be what they call drill watering. You'd make a gutter, like a gutter, and run the water down the drill. And then once the machinery come into it, well, you just use the machine to plant it, put it on the back of a tractor and transplant your, well, the seedlings you'd grown just off the back of a tractor with a machine.
So with the water, did you use sprinklers or did you use other means?
Yeah, well, sprinklers come in after the drills was used.
Right.
They gradually come in. They would start coming in the 50s probably.
Yeah. So where did you get the water from?
Well, Fifth Creek run through our place, and while it was water in there, we'd use it out of the creek, out of a big cement tank, which was built in the early 1940s, 50,000 gallons, and they'd pump the water into there, and there was also a dam. They'd run the water into the dam. But then the creek doesn't run all year round. There was a bore on the place, but the bore water wasn't real good. And they would mix the bore water with the mains water and use that when the creek stopped running.
Right.
You couldn't use the bore water on most vegetables because there was too much salt in it, but it was all right if you mixed it, made a shandy of it.
So if you had to use mains water, it would have been quite expensive then?
Well, not like it is today.
No.
No, but back then you could probably grow your vegetables on mains water because it was that cheap. But as it's got dearer and dearer, you wouldn't want to be doing it now. It's just, but back then it wasn't too bad.
So what sort of buildings did you have on the land, apart from the houses? Did you have lots of...
Oh, only sheds.
Sheds
for the truck and tractors and that to finish up.
It's a packing shed or something like
that. Yeah, we never used to pack anything here.
Oh, okay.
It used to be taken straight on the truck to market.
Oh, okay.
Mainly cut it, collies and cabbage first thing in the morning and take them straight to the market, which was down in Rundle Street.
Yeah.
On the corner of Rundle Street and Grenfell Street, East Terrace there.
I've seen photographs of the some of the other families who grew cabbages and collies, and they were piled high on the trucks.
Yeah, there was a bit of an art in stacking them on the truck. You had to put them in, put the corner ones, and then put the others on top to hold them in, and they'd drive into town, and I don't think there was ever too many lost off the truck.
So did you go to market, or did you...?
We didn't go to the early market. We went into the merchants probably 9:30, 10:00, into the packing merchants, and not to the early market where all the greengrocers and stuff went. They used to go in 4:00, 4:30. And sell it there, but we never went to that.
And when you grew tomatoes?
Only for sauce tomatoes for a Rosella factory.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, but did you have glass houses or?
No, those just grown out in open open paddock.
Yeah. Who tied them up?
They didn't tie up. Those just a bush that grew on the ground.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, they didn't need staking up. Those just sat on the ground and.
Now, there all around you were neighbours, even if they were a little way away. So who were the nearest gardeners to you?
Well, Dad's cousin. That was Henry, George, Clyde and Sterling Lorenz. They joined our place on the northern side.
Yeah.
And there was the Rotolos on the east side. And then it was divided by Schultz Road on the west side, and there was virtually no one on the southern side.
So you were on the border then for the...
Yeah, well, it was Addison Avenue what went up, which is now Manresa Court, and then there was a garden where St Ignatius is, but that didn't last that long, not in what I can remember.
I heard a story about some of the early people who lived on that bit of land just this week, and I'll tell you about later.
Where St Ignatius is.
But so did you have a lot of contact with all of the other gardeners in the area, though?
Oh, a certain amount of contact. Yeah. Used to help each other a little bit, certain ones, not everyone, but sort of, you know, probably two or three other gardeners. If you was busy, they'd help you, and if you was not quite so busy, you'd go and help them.
Mm.
Sort of, to a certain extent, but you couldn't do it all the time because you had your own work to do.
So what did this area look like when you were in the garden? There were just, there's the house next door where you lived and the house across the road.
Well, there was the service station just up the road, which was owned by Ed Coventry. And then between there, there was the Institute, and then only about one other house before up the school. So there's virtually nothing on this side. Down towards the reservoir, which is all houses now, that was a lot of time, it was just Scotch thistles. No one even worked the land as garden land.
Mm.
It was just sort of, well, not scrub, but just Scotch thistles.
And,
but there was a few gardens between Schultz Road and the reservoir.
And was Jill involved in the garden at all?
No, she came in, well, we got married 2 years before it was sold. So she was never tied up. She helped a bit in later years when we used a couple other places as, because I kept market gardening after it was sold, after Dad sold it and retired. I still kept gardening, and she helped a bit then. We went up along the river, leased some land from the government, what was now the Linear Park. And we grew celery up there. And she used to come and help wash that.
So whereabouts was that? In perhaps in relation to, was it near the golf course, the Campbelltown golf course?
No, it was up the top of Athelstan. Yeah, down near Boards Road goes, or Cools Road. It was in, ones that had it was Dean Packer and his brother, Bruce, and then they sold to the government, or the government relieved them of it. And another one, Eric Diano, and they bought that for the Linear Park, and we leased that up there for 8 years. Went up there with a lad, young lad who was Bradley Walker. And just before that, we'd used land just north of the Athelstan Oval. Worked there for 5 years until it got subdivided.
And did you grow the same sort of crops?
Yeah, grew celery there because it was
celery. Yeah.
Probably heavier ground, which suited the celery more than the sandy soil.
So, well, we haven't talked about the soil. You mentioned it was mostly sandy soil that you were working. So what is the difference for people who don't understand soil types? And what are the different strategies that you would be using for growing crops in sandy or bad
soil? Well, the sandy soil is easier to work when it's wet. Doesn't stick like the Bayabiski soil. Probably needs fertiliser not as much but more often because it leaches through the ground. Whereas the Bayabiski soil is heavier, especially down along the river, the black soil. It's good to grow stuff in, holds more water content. You don't have to put the amount of water on. But in the winter when it gets wet, it's like glue. Sticky and sticks to you and they've both got their good attributes.
And you grow the same crops in both types of soil?
We couldn't really grow the celery here where we are now in the sandy soil. It was just too, celery sort of liked ground that held the moisture, you know, didn't dry out as quick. But later years they've sort of bred different sorts that they grow in sandier soil. So, but back in those days there was only certain varieties of stuff, and that's the ones you went by.
Campbelltown seems to have a bit of a reputation for celery, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, at one stage, a few years ago now, I can remember when there was 102 celery growers in South Australia. And later years, I went out to Virginia for 10 years, and there was four of us, four celery growers, because all along the river got subdivided for houses and that, and but back those days, you couldn't grow the areas because they had no sprays for the weeds and stuff. And a lot of it was done with hoeing the weeds. And then later years, they brought sprays in to kill the weeds, and you could just spray them instead of hoeing. And it made things easier and you could grow bigger areas.
The library had a photograph of a child standing against a stick of celery that was a bunch of celery that was as tall as she was.
Okay.
I don't know if you have seen that photo, but
yeah, I've seen that. It was down at Packers, yeah. I think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Amazing how tall they grow.
Yeah, well, years ago they used to, the celery grew taller, and they used to put boards on it either side the row about a fortnight before they cut it to make it go white, bleach it.
Oh, okay.
And the celery then grew taller. And then in later years, they brought in what they called American celery. It was shorter and was supposed to be stringless. And you didn't have to put the boards on that so much. It sort of bleached itself.
Right.
And then they virtually stopped bleaching it altogether, and people just eat green celery. So the varieties changed, and the American celery was probably about half the height of what the old celery used to be.
Right, yeah. When you weren't gardening, after hours, what were the activities that you and your neighbours got up to?
I was well behaved. we used to, later years when you're old enough, we used to go fishing and go out crabbing out the Port Gawler and Thompson's Beach. Late in the afternoon, raking crabs. Played sport, played tennis and football, and
so was it a fairly close community?
Yeah, years ago it was. You knew everyone in the area, but then once they brought in subdivision, people had come in, and in Athelstan now, I wouldn't know 1% of the people, because most of the my generation have sort of moved away from the area or passed on. But back then, there wasn't many houses here, so you sort of knew everyone.
Yeah. And so you played football at the Athelstan Football Club?
Yeah, I played there when I was a junior, and then I played out at Norwood for a few years, and then come back, and when I was in mid-20s, I played last year at Athelstan. And I busted my knee, and that was the end of that. So
it's often the way with sport, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So after you finished gardening in this area, where did you go after that? What work did you do after here? And then you had the land further up on the river, but...
I think in 79, for 5 years, was down on the river just below the football oval, where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And then 8 years up, where Packers and Dionys were up along the river, and then in 1993 went out to Virginia for 10 years with Paul and Cyril Emery. We bought some land out there, and the three of us went out there for 10 years.
And was that celery there?
Celery, and mainly celery and a few cabbage out there. That's all we grew out there. Used to still live home here, but go out there each day and back, which is I was 30 odd kilometres out there,
yeah.
So it was a bit of a drag going out and back, but it was all right for 10 years.
Yeah. So when did the market gardens start to be sold? You mentioned something about the 60s.
About 1960, the dad's cousins, who was next to us on the northern side, they was about the first one. Would have been around 1960, I think they sold where the Athelstan Primary School is now. They sold, and that's about the first one I can remember.
Yeah.
There wasn't probably much happened for a few years after that, and then when Dad sold in 1973, there was a fair few gardens went around the same time then. It was when the subdivision really started to get in Athelstan, then it... went pretty quick from then on.
Yeah. Well, when you think about, it's relatively close to town, isn't it? So it was an attractive area for housing.
Oh, well, the suburbs just expanded out from town, and this was the area that it gobbled up, because Athelstan sort of goes to the foothills, so they can't go much past here.
No.
So it's just virtually at the base of the foothills.
Yeah. So what sort of changes have you noticed then when you're driving around Athelstan about how the land's being used these days?
Well, it's nothing like it used to be. Mm. It's just like being nearly in the middle of Adelaide now, whereas before you could just drive around, and occasionally our horse used to get out and he'd just wander up the road into the cousin's place because they had a horse too, and they'd just go up there. And we used to run a few cows down along the creek, milk the cows and tie them out on the edge of the road. There was not much traffic going up and down the road, and during the day we'd take them out and let them feed along the edge of the road, just tie them up with a chain. And then at night you'd let them go, and they'd walk back to the shed where they used to be milked. They just knew to go back there. But they wouldn't want to do it today, they'd get run over. But those days there was hardly a car on the road.
No, no. So what other animals did you have on the property? Did chickens?
Oh, Mum always had fowls.
Yeah.
Fowls for egg and...
Eating.
And, that's about all.
Mm. Largely, self-sufficient to a certain extent.
Yeah. Every now and then they'd kill a chook and eat it. And
What when you mentioned we were talking about the people in the neighbourhood, you mentioned I think in our early discussion that your father worked for the Fryers for a while.
No, Dad's father, my grandfather.
Oh, your grandfather.
Yeah, my grandfather.
Yes. Yeah. It seems as though nearly everybody worked for the Fryers at some stage.
Yeah, William Fry, he had a big garden, and. My grandfather, he came out from Germany in 1876, I think, when he was about 5 months old. He was brought out by his father. And then the father who brought him out, he got killed down at the reservoir when he was 44 years old. He wouldn't pay for his drink down there one day, and they had a bit of an argument. He got knocked off the balcony and lobbed on his head and killed him. So... my grandfather had to start in the garden when I was about 12 or 13, take over.
Gosh.
Mm. So, because there was no one to take it over.
Yeah.
And then he worked for William Fry, who had a lot of gardens around. And then eventually he bought his own land and what we had when it was sold.
Yes. I've run out of questions. But I'm wondering if you've got any other stories that you'd like to record for the project.
Stories?
Or just anecdotes that you have to tell?
Oh, probably can't think of much. We've covered a fair bit of it.
Yes, yeah.
Just that it was good times back then.
Yeah. Mm.
Free and... as I said before, just like a little country town where nothing seemed to go wrong. You just roam around and go and visit someone, walk up the edge of the road with your toy truck or something and no worries about anything happening. But
I just had a thought. So did most of the gardeners grow similar crops, or did you sort of have an arrangement that you grew different things?
No, there was no arrangement.
No.
You just... one thing I forgot to mention, though, we grew carrots and parsnips. A few carrots and parsnips.
Mm.
They grew well in the sandy soil. But no, you just grew whatever you thought was going to bring in the most money to survive on. Something that was short 1 year, everyone had seen to plant the next year, and then there'd be plenty the next year, and the thing that grew the year before, well, that was short because everyone had changed over. But no, mostly you grew virtually the same things year after year.
Yeah.
But there was no rule on what you could grow.
No.
Just everyone for themselves.
Mm. I just... and I know there was a Market Gardeners Association at one stage, and Campbelltown seemed to have had a section of that, a branch of the Market Gardeners Association.
Yeah, well, I can't remember anything about that.
Oh, okay.
No.
Because
Campbelltown was a little bit... separate from Athelstan.
Right, yes.
There was a lot of Italians come out into the Campbelltown area when they come out in the 40s and 50s. But we sort of mainly located on... You knew some of them down there, but you didn't associate garden-wise with them.
No.
Not as though you was in opposition or anything.
Well, I think we've probably covered everything then. And so I'd like to say thank you to you both for giving up your time this morning and having to think about all the things that you probably had forgotten about, some of them.
Well, you can still remember certain things, but then you've got to think about dates and other things,
yes,
which is pass quickly by, and they're going quicker every year you get older. And you've always got the memories.
Yes, yeah. Anyway, thank you very much, Dennis, and thank you, Jill.
That's okay. Thank you.